Amen. I thank the Lord for God blessing us through the years with men and women who were willing to answer that call of sacrifice and do what was absolutely necessary to do for us to be here today. I'm thankful for you being in the building today and for all our friends who are joining us now on the internet. I want you to open your Bibles, please, this morning to the book of Isaiah and turn to Isaiah chapter number 45. I'm going to share some things there with you for just a few moments. And while you're finding your place there, I want to, first of all, remind you of some folk we want you to remember in prayer. Pray for Brother Donnie Parker. Brother Donnie is in the hospital over in Smithfield and has a real serious problem with a low blood pressure. They're looking at transferring him maybe to one of the other larger hospitals very soon, and if they can't get it corrected. So please pray for him. Also, remember to pray for Kim. She had a knee replacement. Kim Bailey had a knee replacement, and she's doing well, but you remember her in prayer. Brother LaVon Ennis had knee surgery as well this past week, so remember him. Continue to pray for Ricky and Helen Barber, Emil and Janie up in the mountains, and then up in Benson at the cowboy cobbler Roy Wood. His wife has just been diagnosed with cancer, and we wish you would remember to pray for that family. Brother Ralph and his church in Asheville, as well as several others up that way, have chose not to start back having open services yet, and because they've had several cases, and actually Brother Ralph Sexton's aunt just passed away with the virus, and she was an elderly lady up in years quite a bit, but you remember to pray for that family and pray for all those affected by that and ask God's blessing on them. I won't take time to do a lot of announcements. We do most of them on phone tree, but ask you to look forward and praying about Brother Tom Gillum being with us the second Sunday of June and through Wednesday night, and the Ollis family is going to be here. We're not having camp meeting. We're just going to have that revival and then the celebration of the 4th on July the 4th. We are going to move our May business meeting. We're going to try to have that on June the 10th. That's a Wednesday night. And if you will, make a note of that. I'll ask you to look at your Bible, please. What an amazing chapter this is. All of the Word of God's amazing. Israel has been very disobedient to God. The northern tribes have already been taken captive by the Assyrians. And God miraculously stayed the hand of the Assyrians when they came against Jerusalem. And the king prayed and God answered prayer and God did an awesome miracle. And when they got up the next morning, 185,000 of the enemy troop were dead. And God spared the southern kingdom of that Assyrian captivity. God gave them deliverance. And having done all of that, I mean, having seen the sin that their brothers and sisters to the north committed and how they turned from the true God and turned to false gods and idols and everything else. And yet God gave them chance after chance, sent prophet after prophet. They wouldn't listen. And finally God said, if you don't disobey me, I'm going to send judgment. And God did. And then the armies come against the southern kingdom, but God intervenes. God gives them space to repent. And I believe God's given America space to repent. God gives us a chance to get right with God. But Israel is unique in all the Bible. You think about this. All the people of all the world, God chose Abraham and the nation of Israel. They are God's special choice, the apple of his eye. Through them came the Word of God. Through them came the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's not through with Israel yet. I was astonished. I knew when we went to Israel that we'd see things, but I had in my mind that there'd be these little pockets where there's, you know, just little small shacks and this, that, and the other. I was amazed, blown away with the cities that are there since 1948, how that nation's grown and how God's blessed it, how it's prospered. And there's no explanation for it except for God having restored Israel after all of those years. Well, where you're at in your Bible now in the book of Isaiah, they are coming to the point where the Babylonians now will take captive the southern kingdom. And God has already got a plan for them in the future. 70 years they'll be in captivity, but then a unique thing's going to happen. God is going to raise up a Gentile king who will allow Israel to go back. You have the Assyrian kingdom, and they were world dominant, then the Babylonians, and then after them, the Persian Empire came, and they were world dominant. And of course, the Assyrians had taken captive a lot of the Jews and the Babylonians, and so they are dispersed all over everywhere. And God does a unique thing. I want you to look in your Bible, please, in chapter number 45. But while you're there, look back to the next verse just before that. And he says this, "Say unto Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasures, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid." Now, understand this, the temple's been destroyed, the walls of the city have been destroyed through the Assyrian and Babylonian, all the great battles that have taken place. Now the Persian kingdom's on the throne. And God says through his prophet Isaiah, the same one who prophesied about the Lord Jesus Christ coming, and so many wonderful things about the return of our Lord and things that are happening now. He said, "I want you to tell the king of Persia this," and so on and so on. Now, look at chapter number 45. "Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, king, whose right hand I have holden, and subdued nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make crooked places straight. I will break the pieces, the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee treasures of darkness and hidden secrets of riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the Lord God of Israel. And for Jacob my servant's sake, and for Israel my elect, I have even called thee by thy name." Watch this next statement. "I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me." Cyrus didn't know what was going on, but God called his name in the Bible before he comes on the scene in world history. And God's already ordained that he'd be the one who would allow the Jews to go back to lay the foundation of the temple, rebuild the temple, and rebuild the wall. And all of those things happened because God had a plan. And he said, "I'm doing all of this because Israel is my nation. I'm doing that." And using this man, Cyrus, who didn't even know the Lord. Look at the next verse, verse number 5. "I am the Lord, and there's none else. There is no God beside me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me." This Persian king, who worshiped other gods, he was worshiping false gods. But God said, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to take you, an infidel or somebody that doesn't believe in the true God." And he said, "I'm going to hold your hand. I'm going to give you great victory. And I'm doing it so my nation Israel can be delivered." God has a plan. I want you to know God's always got a plan. He's never been taken by surprise. He's never had to go back and redo. He already had a plan in place. Even before the Assyrians came, before the Babylonians came, before the Persians came to power, God already had a plan. God knew what he was going to do. The sin in the garden did not bring surprise to him. He already knew what he was going to do. And I want you to know that he's still on the throne right now in 2020. He's raising up people. You say, I put a little quote this morning. I was actually looking for something else by General Patton that I couldn't find. But I ran across that about prayer, this month of prayer. If you on my Facebook, if you're not, friend me on Facebook. Isn't that, boy, I'm uptown now. But you and I want you to see that. General Patton, you say, "Well, Brother Billy, he cussed." Oh, he cussed a lot. But God had him on the scene. And here's a king that doesn't even know God. He doesn't even know God. He doesn't acknowledge the God of Israel. And yet God chose to use him. And God's got people in places that God's using for a particular purpose. Now, what about all that? What is the underlying thing about all of this, about God calling the nation of Israel? Why did He call them? He said, I didn't call you because you were the greatest nation. I didn't call you because of any other reason. I chose you. And through Him was to come the Word of God, and through the nation of Israel, the Word of God and the Savior, Messiah. And God promised blessings to Israel. And He's promised us that if you'll bless Israel, I'll bless you. Now, we're in a situation in our nation where there's a climate in America that's anti-Semitic, meaning they are against Israel, against the Jews. And there are people in the Senate and House of Representatives now in Washington, D.C., who have openly said that Israel has no right to exist. They want to just destroy it. Presidents for many years now have said that Israel, the capital of Israel, should be Jerusalem, and nothing was ever done. And President Trump moved our embassy there. He recognized Israel as the capital of Jerusalem and of Israel. And he's done all those things. God had a plan. I believe with all my heart, there's no way in the world that President Trump is serving as president of these United States right now, except that God did that. You say, Brother Billy, you're being political. No, I'm being biblical. I read to you a political scenario of a national leader, Cyrus, that God chose to use to deliver Israel. But now what is the bottom line? Let's come to what it's all about. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He had a man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, who was coming to deliver the whole world. And everything that has gone before that with the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, and the nation of Israel, all of that God's orchestrating to bring about the time when His Son Jesus would come, and He's already laid out history in front of us, and we see it fulfilling every day. You say, Brother Billy, what's going to happen to America? What's going to happen to the world? It's coming to an end. It's coming to an end. It's in the Bible. There's no way to get around it. You can't change it. It's coming to the end. There's going to be a rapture when the Lord descends from heaven with a shout and takes out all the saints of God. There's going to be a 7-year time period that's called the tribulation period. You say, Brother Billy, you think we're in the tribulation? I think we're in what's called the time of trouble or the beginning of troubles. We're not in tribulation yet. But Antichrist, I believe, is living. And the world is going to a one-world government, and that's where it's headed right now. And this whole pandemic thing, and you talk about the global impact and the global influence, and yet in all of that, God has done a miraculous thing. I wonder how people felt in and around Jerusalem in 70 A.D. when the Romans came in and completely destroyed Israel, destroyed the city of Jerusalem. Tore down the walls, tore down the temple, not one stone left upon another. And it was just devastating. But why? Well, the Bible says of those who had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to that point, that they were scattered everywhere. Now, scattered means they didn't say, hey, I think I'll go over there and think I'll go over there. They left because of great trouble, great persecution. God sent the Romans in there and sent the Christians scattering. Except for the apostles, it said. But not only did He send them out, what does it say they did? It said He sent them out and they went everywhere preaching the Word. Did you know that God expanded His ministry by bringing judgment on Jerusalem and on Israel? He scattered them with the fire of the gospel across all of that area and on up in further north and all the way up to Rome eventually. God had a plan in all of that. And here's the unique thing about where we are now. This is not even a message. I got about 7 minutes to do my message. But here's the thing. Did you know that in the last 2 months, the gospel message has been heard probably by more people than any other time in history? Dr. Bobby Carden, pastor of the church of Bladenboro, North Carolina, they have about 50 or so on Sunday. And he preached a message out in the woods not long ago with a good friend of ours. And Brother David Pate, he's an evangelist, and he has a stump set up with a cross on it, and he preaches the gospel. And he has a huge following on Facebook. And Dr. Carden talked to him, and he said, "Brother Billy, I want you to look at David. Certain time I preached on the revival we need." And he said, 60,000 people have heard that message. And I went to it and listened to part of the message. And at that time, 67,000 people had listened to Dr. Bobby Card's message. And he stuck off in Bladenboro. And that's true of churches across this country, never been using the medium of internet. And God is saturating this country. Why? Because you're living in the last days. You're living in that time when the knowledge of the earth shall, Lord shall cover the whole earth as waters cover the flood. It's happening right now. God's doing it right now. Now watch. Notice my text verse. I'll be through. I'll give it to you. I'll set a record. I'll get through by 12 in about 5 minutes. Notice what it says in this same 45th chapter. Look at verse 22. He said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." All of that was orchestrated. All of that with Israel, all of that coming with Cyrus. Everything he says, "I'm going to do this, Cyrus, so you'll know I'm the Lord. You don't even know me now, but you'll know I'm the Lord." And then he gives this call to salvation that all the ends of the earth can be saved and go to heaven. That's God's plan for you here in the building, in the internet audience. You say, "Brother Billy, we're going to get out of this thing in a while." It is worldwide. It is all over this whole world. I don't think we're through with it yet, the catastrophic events of all of the pandemic that's going on. And there may be flares up. I don't know. But it may be over tomorrow. But one thing will not be over tomorrow. The wages of sin is death. And everybody in the nation's infected with that. Notice just four little quick things here. I'm through. Notice this. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else." Couched in all of this story about history and battles and deliverances and all the, is this gospel message. That's what it's all about. This world's going to burn with a fervent heat. You won't even know it. There'll be a new heaven, new earth, but only what's done in Christ and only those who know Christ will live for all eternity. Notice the source of this great salvation he offers. "Look unto me." And he said, "I am the Lord. There's none else. I don't make any apology for it. He's the only Savior. He's the only way to heaven. And the only way you can know the Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have Christ, you're heaven bound. If you don't have Christ, you're hell bound. He that hath the Son hath life. If you don't have Christ, you have death. He's our only hope of heaven." Brad mentioned that earlier. But my dear friend, the scope of this thing, worldwide, Persians, Babylonians, Assyrians, Israel, every other nation, as one God, and one, he has one son, his name is Jesus, and he's offered to everybody, "Look unto Jesus." He's the author and finisher of your faith. You tried everything else, look to Jesus. Notice not only do I notice the source of that, but notice the scope of it. He said, "Look to the Lord, look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth," every person everywhere around the world. I have enjoyed being on the internet a little bit and seeing our friends in the Philippines preach. I've heard reports from all around the world how God's doing things. It's just amazing. I've never ever sat in my house and look at Rusty Josephat preach in the Philippines. And that's amazing. It's amazing to me. There's not a Filipino gospel. There's not a Russian gospel. It's one gospel, and it's for all the whole earth, and that's his intent. That's what all this is about. That's what all of this going on in the world today is about, is he wants us to turn to him, wants people to turn to him and get saved, and it's for the whole earth. But notice not only the scope of it, that means it's the whole world, and the source of it is through Jesus Christ, "Look unto me." But I want you to notice the simplicity of it. "Look unto me." Salvation's simple. How do you get, what must I do to be saved? Was the question in the New Testament. Here's what it was. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Look. It's as simple as looking. Remember back in that passage of scripture where he gave what we call the John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." In that same passage where he says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And when they were dying of the bite of poisonous serpents, they made a serpent of brass, put on a pole, and all they had to do was look and they'd be healed. In the Gospel of John alone, 99 times it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe, believe, believe. My dear friend, you get saved not by being baptized, not by doing all those things, but by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so simple. It's so simple. You're living in a complicated world. You're living where technology is booming everywhere else. But when it all comes down to it, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You don't have to be educated. You don't have to be any particular color. It's whoso will may come, and it's for everybody, and it's so simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then I want you to notice the security of it. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, period. Saved. How do you get saved? How do you get saved? You say, Brother Billy, saved from what? Saved from the punishment of sin. Saved all the power of sin. And one day you'll be saved from the presence of sin by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that awesome? I mean, you studied all of these just huge historical events, and right in the middle of that, he said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. He's God. He loves you. He died for you and he'll save you. If you'll turn from your sin and turn to the Savior, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save you today. Would you bow with me for prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed. My dear friends in this building, I'm so glad to see you. I didn't even take time to say a whole lot about that. I want to make sure I got this truth in this today. In all that's going on around you, it's easy to forget the simplicity of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God's been so good to us. He loved us. 1,000 years from now, this idea of a pandemic and all that's going on in the world will not matter. But for eternity, it matters whether or not you're saved. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can have it today by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior there in your home or here in the building. Turn in simple faith from your sin and turn to the Savior and trust him now. Heavenly Father, it just is astounding to see what's going on in the world. The moral decline of our nation, the wickedness here and around the world. There's so many things going on the moral front and the political front and now in the health of our nation and people around the world. It'd be easy to forget this wonderful truth that you put here in all these great prophecies about Persia rising and Cyrus allowing Israel to go back to the homeland, rebuild the temple and rebuild the wall. But God, the message in every bit of it, that you're God and there's none else. And if people will look unto you, they can be saved for all eternity. And God, I pray there's not one man, a woman, a boy, a girl in this building or in the media audience today that has not trusted Jesus. And God, if there are some who've not, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would bring Holy Ghost conviction. God, this is your work. This is your ministry. You're able to convict. You're able to draw. And I pray, God, you'd save. Help men and women, boys and girls, now in the building and in the internet audience to do what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done. Help them to turn to you in simple faith and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive him in their heart and life. And for those of us who are saved, God, help us to understand that our mission's not changed. Our message is not changed. He's still the only hope. And God, help us to share the gospel as much as we can, every way we can. In these last days, you've given us wonderful medium to do that with. And God, I pray you'd bless the word of God as it goes out, Lord, around this world by the social media and every other way. But God, I believe with all my heart you're doing this much like you drove the saints out of Jerusalem and they were scattered everywhere. I believe, God, you've done this to get the gospel outside of the four walls of our churches. and into homes, nursing homes, hospitals, everywhere. God, you're reaching out and drawing men and saving men and women, boys and girls. God, do that here today. Now, while we're praying, friends in the building and in the internet audience, how can you be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I do believe that a believing heart is a receiving heart and it is a requesting heart. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, if you want to be saved, right now, if you want to go to heaven, you must believe, you must receive, you must call on Him to come in your heart personally and save you right now. I pray you'll do that where you are. While we have our heads bowed in the building, let me ask you, if you're here, please turn to Christ. And I pray that you'll have this assurance that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, and He's going to take care of you. He's going to watch over and care for you if you know Him, regardless of what comes, what goes. And I pray for those who don't know Christ again that they get saved. I pray you'll trust Jesus. Brother Brad's going to sing a verse of a song. Right now, Brad will sing a verse of a song. We'll not keep you long. I want you, we can't respond in here like we normally do, but if you want to find your place off to this altar somewhere, I welcome you to do that. But if you are here in the audience and you don't know Christ, I want you to trust Him right now. Will you pray this prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I am a sinner. But I believe you died for me. I believe you paid the sin debt for me. Lord Jesus, come in my heart and forgive me of all of my sin. Save me right now. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. My dear friends, if you believe that with all of your heart, I trust that you'll cry out to Him and you believe on Him. He'll keep His word. He'll save you. Listen to Brother Brad as he sings. Let God speak to your heart. Obey Him today.
Christ is all I need. He's all I need. For me.
Father, I want to thank you that in Christ you meet all of our needs. Lord, you save to the uttermost all that call upon you, and God, you never, ever leave us or forsake us. Bless all these our friends. Thank you for letting us be in the building today, and God, for assembling. But God, we're glad that you're with us everywhere we go, and God, you've blessed us just as surely as we've been doing live internet services and around the home. But God, we thank you for the wonderful privilege, and according to your command, we've assembled ourselves together. Lord, bless our friends now through the week. And God, we pray you give us a great time in the Lord. Help us to be a witness for Jesus, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.